The Buck Sexton Show.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.
Andrea Tanteros. She's a Fox News political analyst and co-host of Outnumbered. Andrea, thank you for calling in.
No, thanks for having me, Buck.
So the latest from politics is that Donald Trump is saying that he thinks, or he said, I should say, that he thinks that CNN should give him $5 million so that he can give it to wounded veterans for appearing in the debate. What do you make of this? Is he serious?
I love it. I think it's a great idea. Why not? Actually, I think he's letting CNN get off cheap. Because if you look at the numbers from the ad sales, I mean, they're making, upwards of over $50 million from their last debate in advertising sales. So I think they can spare $5 million for some veterans.
All right. There we go. Maybe he's going to get his way. We know that he did make some noise about how he wanted a shorter debate, and he got a shorter debate. And I think that was actually his best, one of his best moments in the debate that was shorter, was when he pointed out that it was shorter because of him. Because he's also having some issues now with the media, which is nothing new, obviously, but they're doing a whole list of the Trump misstatements, if you want to be polite, lies, if you're feeling a little more feisty with Mr. Trump. And what I think is interesting is, one, you know, they don't call out President Obama when he says things like mass shootings don't occur in other countries. That just goes completely, that just flies on the radar. Why is anyone supposed to care whether Donald Trump was correct or not when he says his plane is bigger than Air Force One? Why does the media think anyone would care about that?
Well, I mean, the media hates any kind of Republican or person that is critical of their beloved progressive administration. I mean, that's why. And Donald Trump, no one's been able to get a glove on him. So I actually think there's a little bit of professional competition going on with the media to see if one of these attacks will actually stick. Because it hasn't stuck yet. And so there seems to be, at least how I observe it, and look, I was a press secretary on a number of different political campaigns, so I do understand the way that the media works. And three things about the media. One, they're very liberal, the majority of them. Two, they're incredibly lazy. And three, they're very competitive with each other. Even though there's that groupthink mentality where they all sort of watch the New York Times for cues as to what's okay to write and what's not okay to write, they still try and be personally competitive when they're ganging up on conservatives and Republicans to see who can really go after them the hardest and get it to really make a difference in their campaign. I mean, they're an agitprop arm of the Democratic Party. We see that. I mean, if it isn't Donald Trump, it's Ben Carson. If it isn't Ben Carson, they're going after, you know, Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz. I mean, they're not asking Hillary Clinton any important questions. Perhaps the biggest one, Buck, is, okay, I get they don't want to talk about the email server scandal, that they don't think that that's important, the largest national breach, security breach in the country. But wouldn't you ask Hillary Clinton? Wouldn't you ask her about Libya? I mean, she says that that's her war. She orchestrated Libya, and the front page of the New York Times on Sunday was how ISIS has infiltrated Libya. Now, it seems to me it's not a gotcha question, it's a logical question. If ISIS is a huge threat and they're growing in the Middle East, wouldn't the logical question be to ask Hillary Clinton, the one who basically allowed ISIS to come to power in Libya by ousting Muammar Gaddafi? Wouldn't you think she would get a question about that? But no,
yeah, she has.
Be asking about planes and hypothetical, you know, time machines that could take you back to kill a baby Hitler.
Right. I mean, they clearly want to create, they want to construct a narrative of Hillary Clinton as an adept Secretary of State, incredibly worldly and cosmopolitan. She has the best resume. I mean, that's, we know what the talking points are before they're deployed. I think we'll see more of that in the weeks and months ahead. But do you think that her, by the way, the health question, do you think that's a legitimate line of inquiry right now? It seems like that's considered a third rail because of some of the emails that mentioned that she had the concussion and, you know, because of her age. I remember when people were talking about Dick Cheney as not okay for vice president because of his heart surgery and because of his health issues. And yet the media, it seems like that's an unfair or that's an out of bounds question. I want to know what you think about that.
I just said on Outnumbered, I mean, no one wants to talk about her health. I think it's an absolutely fair question. You know, we know from the emails that she sought the advice of the NFL on concussions. We know that she fell down and had a concussion. Huma Abedin has recently said that she gets, quote, confused a lot. So I do think it's a fair question. And the reason it's fair, Buck, if we're playing by the rules set by the mainstream media, is that they did the same thing with John McCain. Remember, they questioned whether or not he was too old, whether or not he was of sound mind. You know, they can get all that stuff in there when it comes to a Republican, but when it comes to a Democrat, they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and just to add a little spice on top, too, the New York Times runs an unsourced hit piece alleging McCain had an affair, just because why not? Why not throw that out there as hard news that they won't back up?
And the point of reference I would look at, Buck, is there's an August story in the New York Times that talks about all of the issues with Hillary Clinton. I know no one wanted to cover that fun little story, but she has a laundry list of ailments. High blood pressure. She's got blood clots all over her body. I mean, she is a portrait of abysmal health. And no one even wants to ask, is she of sound mind and body to potentially hold this position? I mean, forget her competence. We know she's not, because at best she couldn't manage two emails and decipher between classified and unclassified. But I wonder if she's actually with it.
I think the shield that the campaign will hide behind on that, if it is raised, which is a big if, and I'm not sure that it really will be in an effective way, is sexism or allegations of sexism. That to ask about Hillary's health, her age, all of a sudden it's a question about they'll turn it into an issue of gender somehow. At least that's how I see them deflecting that. But I also want to ask you about what you think's going on right now in the Republican race on that side of the aisle. You've got recent polling still with Trump at the top for Iowa, for the Iowa caucus coming up. You got Carson in the number two slot, Cruz and Rubio behind him. What do you see happening right now? Obviously, Trump and Carson have exceeded all expectations, have all the conventional wisdom has been tossed out many times over and over about the two of them. You think are they really both in it to win it, or do you think Carson's fading?
I mean, I am not completely convinced that Carson's going to make it all the way to secure the nomination, but I think it points to the fact that the Republican Party is really angry at the establishment for a number of reasons. I mean, they feel that the base feels, and the party I think largely feels, like they've rallied so many times to support establishment candidates, John McCain, Mitt Romney, who blew it, who weren't the strongest candidates, who dropped the ball in debates with Candy Crowley, who were afraid to go after President Obama.
Hillary calls him Mittens. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a nicer way of putting it. and I do think that they want to win. And they rallied this last midterm election, and they won. And the base feels, as you know better than anyone, you're on radio, you hear from your listeners, that goodwill and that capital was squandered by John Boehner and others, and a lot of the things they said they would do that they haven't done. But I also think something bigger is happening, Buck. I think that, and Sam Huntington wrote this book called New World Order about what would happen to the world after World War II. And you see it happening. The five major civilizations are returning to their cultural roots. So you see that in China, with a return to Confucianism. You see that in Russia with Vladimir Putin trying to return to restoring the pride that was lost during the Soviet Union. You see that in the Middle East, where there's this fight going on for the battle of the Islamic civilization between the Sunni and the Shia. And I think in the United States, you see it happening here, this strong sense of nationalism, this strong sense to return to our roots. Now, culturally, we have coarsened, morality's gone out the window, we are a much more immoral society. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this nationalism. You see it in France. They are rallying. Even the more liberal groups, even their socialist president is saying, we are France and we're going to be strong. It's the sense of national pride to restore the greatness that has been lost. And I think that's what's happening in this country. And
Do you think that the election, in a sense, right now, and maybe this is reflected both within the GOP specifically, but more broadly on both sides of the aisle, is kind of a referendum on America in the sense of America as the torchbearer of Western civilization?
Yeah, I mean, I do. And I think that's why people are supporting Trump. And I call it Trumpism. And whether or not he moves on to secure the nomination or not, I think this type of Trumpism is here to stay. And by Trumpism, I mean, it's a simple philosophy, right, to make America great again. But that's what people are seizing on. You know, they're tired of people apologizing in Washington, D.C. They're tired of a president apologizing. They're tired of this safe space, wussification of the country. I mean, they really feel like we've slid. We're not taking care of our veterans. We're not using our power smartly. Just to give you an example, Donald Trump gets a really bum rap. But look at what he's able to do. Marco Rubio is saying, let's have a really, really giant military and let's use the military constantly to fight all these wars that we probably shouldn't be involved in. You have Rand Paul who's saying, let's cut the military and let's not meddle in other countries. You have Donald Trump who's saying, I'm going to have the greatest, largest military, but I'm going to use it smartly. I'm not going to get our men and women killed to protect some dump like Kabul, okay, so they can have nation building and inky fingers and democracy, which we know doesn't work in the Middle East. That message is resonating with people. It's resonating, and they're criticizing him on some silly stuff because he does say a lot of wild stuff. But if you break it down to its core, it's very simple. Let's be great again and stop apologizing for it. And I think that works.
It's certainly working in the polls, and it's working beyond anyone's expectations, I think, except maybe Trump himself and some of his closest advisors from some months ago. But why do you think you haven't seen more of a surge towards the Cruz camp? It is starting to happen, and certainly there's been a Rubio and Cruz bump that's been happening in recent weeks. But Cruz certainly has never sold out the base. He's never done anything that can be pointed to as sort of flip-flopping on principle. He's actually stood on principle. He's called out Mitch McConnell in the Senate. He's done all these things. And yet there's still – is it just because he is a politician and Trump isn't? Is it that simple? Because it seems to me that Cruz is every bit as make America great again as Trump is in terms of policy, but just doesn't have all the flash maybe and obviously isn't a billionaire.
Yeah, you know, I think that Ted Cruz has a great message, and I do agree with a lot of his policies. I think it's a messenger issue. I like a lot of the things that he says, but as far as the delivery, there's just something about him, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Washington, D.C. part about him. I don't know if sometimes he comes across as a little bit of a televangelist. The delivery for me personally doesn't grab me. And I think it's a little bit off-putting to people. I also think he has sat on the sidelines and sort of waited in the wings behind Donald Trump, right? And Rubio did the same thing with Jeb. The difference is Jeb Bush has done himself no favors, and his campaign has sort of imploded and withered off, and it's allowed Marco Rubio to step up and sort of assume that establishment, more, you know, traditional neocon corner of the Republican Party. Whereas I think Cruz was hoping that Trump might falter so that he could rise up. And that hasn't happened. And so that's why
I think he's still waiting for that.
Been more lucky. He's still waiting for that to happen. I will say this, though, Buck. He did something very smart earlier today. He started to differentiate himself between Jeb and Rubio and the other Washington, D.C. Politician candidate types. He came out and he said basically that Rubio has a similar position to Hillary Clinton in Libya. They're all for that sort of nation building, John McCain, Lindsey Graham type of democracy promotion, arguably the same stuff that liberals like Hillary and Obama got behind with the Arab Spring. I thought that was very, very smart because we're seeing that play out now. He's absolutely right, and it's not working.
All right, well, as the race continues to play, we'll have to have you back. Andrea Tinteros, Fox News political analyst, co-host of Outnumbered. You can see her every day on Outnumbered. Andrea, thank you so much for calling in. It was great to talk to you.
My pleasure.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? Disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.